Today's video is another case of somebody sending me a submission for TikTok Tuesday and me realizing this is actually worth going over in more detail. The broader topic is about cancel culture, and though I've spoken about it before on this channel, it's been a while, and there's new stuff to talk about. Let's start with the viral TikTok. This clip blew up over the last weekend, netting 650,000 views.
Sir, for what fucking reason? For what reason? For what reason did you take my wig off? Because what made you think that that was the good thing to do? What made you think that that was the good thing to do? For what? For what? Why did you do that? What makes you think that that's okay? Is that funny? Is that funny? You don't even fucking know me. Do you hit women or something? Why did you take my wig off and keep walking? For what, sir? Why? Why?
Just say it.
Why did you take my wig off and just walk away?
Please.
Because what? Why?
Please.
Nah, have a nice one. Have a nice day. You're nice as fuck. Him? He needs somebody to beat his fucking ass. I'm dead ass.
So the story is, the woman recording the video, Lizzie Ash Music, claims that this guy grabbed her wig while walking by on the streets of New York at night. The third person in the video is the guy's friend, who knows that his pal is looking like an asshole and is begging him to apologize. But the guy doesn't seem to know what's going on. He's falling forward, he's ignoring people talking to him. When he does reply, he doesn't seem to understand what's being said to him. It's very clear that this dude is drunk and stumbling home from the bar at the end of the night. Now, he probably actually did snatch her wig. With a bright fucking beacon like that, that's something a drunk guy looking for a laugh might try to do. Plus, the fact that his friend is on camera trying to defuse the situation by asking him to apologize, yeah, I don't think it's too likely that she's just making the whole story up. We didn't see it happen, but it is believable. And yeah, that's a shitty thing to do. It probably even counts as some form of assault legally. She showed off in a later video that the wig is actually quite attached to her hair and did real damage being ripped off.
I just got home. I'm safe. But look at this. If you pull the wig, it looks like it's gonna come off, right? And then it gets stuck because it has combs in it. So he ended up pulling my hair. In order to officially take it off, you have to then yank down and then try your best. It's still not coming off. He dead pulled my whole wig off.
But as a result of the video going viral, this guy got his life destroyed. She goes into further detail in a third video.
Bro, y'all found him in less than 12 hours. TikTok still amazes me, bro. So thank you to everyone who found him and I guess reported him to his company, because it was like, I called the police. All of this happened today, by the way. 1 a.m. it happened. By 12 o'clock, same day, y'all gave me his info. Around like 3 o'clock, I called the police and I put in a report. I went to the doctor. They're like, why you go to the doctor? The police said go to the doctor. They was like, check everything. The doctor said my neck area is very tense, as if like a traumatic event, not like a car accident, but when you have anything, you know, it was a shock. And he said it's very tense and I need muscle relaxer. So he gave me muscle relaxer. So I have that. I don't know what to do from here. That I went, got a report, went to the doctor. I don't know what's next.
The internet tracked him down and discovered he was an associate at the law firm Leader Burkhan Kalau, I can't pronounce this, and Silverstein, I can pronounce that one. The firm put out a public statement that reads, "We have been made aware of a video of a non-work-related incident involving one of our associates circulating on social media. We take seriously any inappropriate behavior by any employee, whether inside or outside the workplace. This associate is no longer with the firm." Now listen, I'm not going to sit here and simp for this guy. Even if grabbing the wig isn't something he would have done when he was sober, even if he doesn't remember doing it, you are responsible for what you do when you're drunk because you chose to get drunk. You know, assuming you did. This applies to drunk driving. And yes, unpopular opinion alert, it applies to a good chunk of sexual activity as well. So obviously, it also applies to when you yank a random woman's wig off in the street. He committed assault, she went to the cops, which is exactly what she should do, that's her legal right. But look at the wording in that statement again. We take seriously any inappropriate behavior by any employee, whether inside or outside the workplace. Any inappropriate behavior? If this guy tells an edgy joke in the privacy of his own home to his old high school friends, and the law firm has a fucking spy drone hovering at the apartment window recording it, should he be fired then? What is the limit on this shit? I mentioned in my video about the City Bike Karen that I hate how our society has decided that a workplace can just police random workers off the clock and it's no big deal. If you're not a public face of the company, if you're not the CEO or something, if you're just a cog in the machine and you're not getting paid on your off time, why the fuck are you being held to company standard on your off time? It's ridiculous, but this is where progressives have led us. Liberals, conservatives, libertarians, capitalists of all types tend to respect the barrier between private and public. It's progressives who overwhelmingly preach that because everything is political, there should be levers of power available to destroy somebody who does something immoral, regardless of its legality. So, what is the limit on that principle? Again, forget about the legality for a second. The wig snatcher is already finding himself in legal trouble because the wig woman went to the cops. But should he have been fired for something totally unrelated to his job? The wig woman frames the conversation as if she's just holding him accountable by recording him with her phone. But what that actually means is she's doxing him and then uploading his face and ruining his life. What makes that the appropriate thing to do? Maybe you think that legality itself is the standard, that as long as something is illegal, it should also be grounds to be cancelable and fireable. That's not necessarily a bad position to hold. We see lots of examples of people doing beyond the pale stuff, and it feels correct when they lose their job. I went over an example on yesterday's Weekly Sip of a feminist professor who vandalized a pro-life display on campus, and then, when asked about that event by journalists, held up a machete to one of their necks. That might not have been done strictly during work hours, but she did get fired for it. Though this one is quite extreme, and to be honest, it probably would have naturally led to her firing anyway. If she had to go to jail, she couldn't attend her job. The issue is, the people who overwhelmingly wield the cancel culture power right now, progressives, they don't think the limit for a reasonable canceling is just legality. They think the limit is whether or not the target is aligned with them politically. Now, sometimes that alignment literally means, do you hold the same political views as me? But there is more to it than that. Look at the wig snatcher story again. He's a presumably straight, white male working in law, while she's a black female, probably some flavor of queer, and she's working as an artiste. Even if they both happened to hold the same political opinions and voted for the same candidates and policies, because blackness and whiteness are now political ideologies themselves in the progressive zeitgeist, she automatically classified him not just as a douchebag, but a political enemy after he snatched her wig. And sometimes the issue at play is power dynamics. Progressives tend to talk about punching up and punching down a lot, especially online, where the idea is, despite other factors like political affiliation, or race, or sexuality, or gender, if there is a class disparity, or a power disparity, or a reach disparity, like if one party has a larger platform, that also creates opposing political classes. This was what was at the core of the ultimately deranged Mr. Girl report on Destiny, where the basics of Mr. Girl's argument was that Destiny had an extra responsibility due to his size when dealing with smaller creators. That they could punch, but he had to tie one hand behind his back when counterpunching. This idea is all over the fucking internet right now. How many times have you seen people, quote, come forward with bullshit docs or manifestos and make claims about how a YouTuber treated them inappropriately 4 years ago or 6 years ago or whatever? Something that can't be proven anymore and was never reported to the police, and we're just expected to believe all women because of some residual Me Too effect. These stories all read the same. I'm so scared to speak up because I used to run with some mid-tier Twitch streamer you've never heard of before. I'm not doing this for the clout, even though I'm gonna link my own Twitch channel or my OnlyFans or whatever in the end of the twit longer. We met back in 2017 on Discord, where he groomed me by being nice to me, and then after the relationship ran its course, I felt betrayed because he used his star power to get me to send him pictures of my butthole. All of these stories sound the same, dude. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying that they're all fake. There are absolutely people who have used the one drop of celebrity that being a mid-level streamer nets them to get nudes from girls in a way that the girls later regret, who have gotten into parties and got girls drunk and taken advantage of them, who have roped in girls with big promises then left them hanging. There's very real stories out there of people doing this with underage targets too. I'm not being unsympathetic to any real victims. At the same time, every time I see a tweet chain describing the most one-sided series of events that amount to a scorned lover looking to capitalize on a possibly real, possibly fake event that happened 5 years ago that they may or may not be traumatized by, where the target is somebody who is much bigger than them and who has moved on from them, I just don't care anymore. I hate sounding like Andrew Tate in his old videos, but fuck me, dude, bring it to the cops. The court of public opinion is not the appropriate place for most of this stuff, and I just don't care anymore. So, those are the three possible vectors for a successful canceling event: political dynamics, demographic dynamics, and power dynamics. If your canceling attempt can lean on one of those three to demonize your target, you might actually pull it off. Of course, it's not that simple. 1. Progressives tend to ignore a specific power dynamic, attractiveness privilege. If, all else being equal, a pretty person cancels an ugly person, it's no problem, despite it obviously being punching down. considering that, as a very general average, left-leaning people do tend to be slightly more attractive than right-leaning people, I'm not surprised that this is a hierarchy that the left doesn't really care too much about tearing down. Two, and more importantly, when the various dynamics clash, the winner is always the political dynamic. In other words, when it's a white progressive versus a black conservative, it's the black person who gets canceled. Take this video of Tim Pool having his beanie snatched off his head. Now, because the beanie wasn't pinned down like Wig Girl's wig was, it didn't physically damage him. It's obviously not a one-to-one comparison, but it is in roughly the same class of thing, and it's also likely a form of assault. How many leftoids laughed at Tim Pool in this clip, shouting about him getting owned and how hilarious it is, while calling the guy who did the snatching a hero, and not doxing him and not ruining his life? I bet those same leftoids were 100% on board with stringing up the wig snatcher. Even though, in both cases, it's a racial minority getting harassed by a white man, it counts for Wig Girl and it doesn't count for Tim Pool because of political alignment. This is why we've seen nonsense like how Asians are honorary whites or how black white supremacy is a thing. When the demographic dynamic disagrees with the political dynamic, the dissenter has to be de-raced by the progressive lens. Do you want an even more stark example of this effect in action? Watch this trans woman wear a MAGA hat at a pride event.
I'm welcome here. I am welcome here.
No, you're not. You're not welcome here.
Yes,
Kate
I am.
Kate is not welcome here.
I am welcome here.
We don't
here.
Give a fuck about Trumpers.
Local Blair White is welcome here.
No, you're not welcome
Let's
here.
Fucking go.
Yeah, no. You're not welcome here.
You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I am. Hey, this is Nazi. Nazi right here. We don't take Nazis here.
Oh!
No Nazi sympathizers. No Nazi sympathizers.
I'm not a Nazi.
Go home,
I'm not
Nazi.
A Nazi.
Go home, Nazi. We don't want you.
They try to take my hat. Let's go.
Nazi.
Oh,
Nazi.
He's so mad.
Go home, Nazi.
He's
Go
so
home,
mad.
Nazi. Go home,
ah,
Nazi.
He's so angry. You need to calm down. You need to calm down, sir. Let's fucking go. Ah. Oh, you will. You should be more inclusive and accepting.
You should be more inclusive. So fucking
tough. Hey, that's an assault. That's an assault. It's on camera. It's on.
This person is absolutely part of the demographics of Pride, being trans. This is literally her community. But the political alignment made that point moot. She's not actually trans anymore in the progressive view, because being progressive is a necessary component of truly being trans. This is something that I went over in detail in my video documenting people who were physically attacked for wearing MAGA hats in public during Trump's presidency. Some of those attackers did face legal repercussions, but none of them were ever canceled by the internet mob. The question at this point is, why? Why is it like this? If you want an hour-long, deep answer to that question, go watch my video on the philosophy of Antonio Gramsci. The TLDR is Gramscian political theory and everybody who has descended from his work, even if unknowingly, like the modern progressive movement in the West, has three basic axioms. One, moving the world more leftward is good. It doesn't matter what type of leftism. Doesn't matter if you're an incrementalist or a revolutionary. More left equals more good, simple as. Two, any method to move the world more leftward is morally permissible. If somebody objects to the morality of your chosen method, they're objecting to your outcome. Again, more left means more good. Because you're pursuing a better world, even a utopian world, all paths that lead in that direction are valid. Three, as a direct result of one and two, when a liberal calls for neutrality in debate, neutrality in institutions, even neutrality in things that you'd think would be naturally objective, like science, the liberal is simply blind to the nature of power. Liberal neutrality does not truly exist because it necessarily privileges a specific liberal political position. And anything more leftward than that imposed neutrality is preferable because, again, more left is more good. Therefore, when leftism and neutrality are at odds, leftism should win. Multiple right-wing political theorists have observed and described this ratchet effect leftward. Moldbug stated that Cthulhu always swims left. One of Robert Conquest's three laws of politics is any institution not explicitly right-wing will become left-wing over time. They're all getting at the same thing. Progressives slowly boiling the frog on wider cultural subversion, with each moment a new data point. Pulling fire alarms on a conservative speaker at a university campus. Spam reporting somebody's social media because they are your political enemy. Pushing for people who aren't even terrorist groups or anything, they just don't hold progressive opinions, to have their bank accounts shut down. Going after history itself, whether that's old books, old movies, old songs, or dead public figures. And of course, attacking regular people who aren't in any way any sort of extremist, but support the idea of liberal neutrality itself. This is where everything is political is trotted out, to be used as a battering ram to shame the liberal into compliance. And of course, it's not happening. It's not real. This is just the natural state, guys. This is how it's always been, how it always will be, how it should be. It's consequence culture, guys. If people do bad things, shouldn't they be punished? Even a child knows that bullies should be held accountable. Of course, the progressives doing the canceling aren't bullies. They just want to make the world a better place. They're just clapping back. Their goals make it acceptable. It's all so tiring. The left has reinvented all of the worst aspects of the internet that they screamed about being dangerous right-wing extremism back in the 2010s. Doxing, targeted harassment, life ruination. But because it's done in the service of their good cause, it's acceptable. Before everyone had a camera in their pocket, people weren't scared of doing something stupid in public because there was no chance it would be immortalized. See my Nostalgia as Fascism video for more on that idea. Do you know what we did back in the 90s and 2000s if we were slighted by some dumb drunk fuck on the street? We moved on because it didn't matter. If it was serious, we might have fought them. If it was really serious, we would call the cops. But the proportionality of those three responses was correct. Not so nowadays. Nowadays, even the slightest of offenses, which have been rebranded as microaggressions, to the progressive, are deserving of the most extreme response. But to most people who have their head on straight, snatching a wig off that lady's head while drunk is an asshole thing to do, but it's not worth ruining the guy's life over. The left is, slowly, finally, beginning to lose some of its cultural dominance. At least online, anyway. And I expect their puritanism to ramp up hard as their claws are forcefully pried out of the death grip they've got us all in. They are just like the religious fundamentalists of yesteryear, who can't leave people alone to live their private lives, who must butt into every space to make sure the proper views are followed, who must punish anybody for any deviation from orthodoxy. These people are budding totalitarians. They lack the total political power to actually enforce their morality on everybody at all times, like a true totalitarian system would. And so cancel culture is their next best attempt. If they can't make it illegal to be a non-progressive, they will make it financially costly, morally repugnant, and culturally taboo instead.